I don't.
There, you always have to turn Scott down. Yeah, he's always on about a 10, and you got to bring him down about a 6.
I hit the rev limiter on the microphone a little occasionally.
It's always he's always up a little higher than everybody would like, and then you kind of got to dial him back down.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
This is different today. It's a Wednesday, everybody, that we are recording. It is not different because I have the same guest that I had last
week. A special Wednesday edition.
I have the same guest that I had last week.
A special Thursday edition.
Scott Slatton, everybody. Well, this won't go out until Friday.
No, we got to publish this tomorrow.
Well,
push
you got you have to talk to Mr. Producer about that.
I'm 100% confident in his capabilities to issue this episode.
You want to push this out before Dome goes out?
Well, I mean, nobody reads the Dome anyway, so.
Right.
Would you or like, so we've been told.
Would you like to step outside, Scott?
So we've been told.
Would you like to step outside?
It's a joke.
So the reason we are recording on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is because everyone finished their business.
Because the Masters first round is tomorrow, even though it's going to get washed out.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's supposed to rain like the Dickens tomorrow.
Is it really? I haven't looked at any of the...
Thunderstorms, yeah. If you take a look at your current radar, especially over there in that lower Mississippi Valley area,
yeah,
you got a big, big glob of storms and rain coming. It's there now, and it'll be fed by you know, more moisture coming up out of the Gulf.
They don't play golf. They play in the rain, but not in a thunderstorm.
Well,
correct. It's kind of like baseball. You can play in the rain as long as the fields don't get all torn up.
And they will play in the rain so long as there's not standing water, particularly on the greens.
Okay.
If you get standing water on the greens, even really if you get it in some parts of the golf course or on the fairways, you get standing water, then you've got that's a problem.
Or lightning.
Well, lightning, yes.
Yeah. Right.
And they have what your it's like a 3 mile, 4 mile, 7 mile limit. Yeah. I don't know what
I think an 8 mile is on the baseball tournaments we've done. I think it's eight.
They set they'll set the siren off at our place if it's within like 4 miles or so.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jake and I were on number 6 green a couple of summers ago, mm-hmm. and I saw a lightning bolt flash.
Yep, and they sounded the alarm.
And it was, you know, in, very quickly after that, they sounded the alarm, and we had to get off the course.
Mm-hmm.
Or seek shelter, but I think we just drove back.
So the reason we are recording this podcast on a Wednesday, a day earlier than our usual recording time, which is Thursday afternoon, so the Senate this week, if y'all remember us talking about it, is in perfunctory session. They made the motion last week to be in perfunctory session this week, which means they still can introduce bills. They still meet in committee and subcommittee, but they are not meeting in session.
I didn't even look. Were there any introductions mm-hmm. this week? There mm-hmm. were? Really?
Actual
bills or like resolutions?
Resolutions.
Okay. Yeah.
Then... The House was in session yesterday, Tuesday, and they stayed fairly late into the evening.
It's like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
From noon to 6, they stayed and ran the entire calendar.
Yes.
So there is nothing at this point on their calendar to deal with.
Just Senate bills.
So they came, right. So all the House bills, they voted out and gave them third reading today, Wednesday, because today is crossover.
Yeah.
So crossover has come and gone, everybody. Nobody fell apart.
Well,
and
you know,
the world did not crumble.
As we do every year, we somewhat catastrophize crossover day.
That's right.
Because
I don't even know if that's a real word or not.
Yes, it's a word.
It is a word.
Mr. Producer's giving the thumbs up.
Catastrophize.
I didn't make that up. But we have good reason for that because in years past we've
Everybody should be.
We've had to be there to fight off who knows what.
Yes.
But this year, gosh, crossover went out with a whimper.
Right.
I was very pleased about that last night whenever they were at the end of the calendar and Eric and I looked at each other and said, are we done?
Right.
Sure enough.
And the Senate had to complete their, they had to get all their Senate bills out last week.
Yeah.
Since they were perfunctory this week. So, crossover came and went.
Yeah, there were no attempts on the House floor to pull any bad bills out, bad bills in
there our view. There were some attempts, just not on our bills. There were people that were trying to pull them out. But
pull stuff out, but it was only like two.
Some people got it, some people didn't.
That takes a unanimous consent request, and none of those were granted for anything that we necessarily cared about.
Correct.
So, yeah, I think I was very happy last night when I left the State House, so... and then, of course, happy last week that the Senate didn't. Of course, the Senate, we don't normally have to worry too terribly much about the Senate. It's just the House that's usually more of a wild card.
Right.
And, of course, Senate Finance Committee concluded its work on the budget today.
Today, yeah, they did. They started yesterday morning about 10:30 and worked yesterday afternoon, and then came in this morning and adopted the numbers, the spreadsheet, a couple of more provisos, and they will let the budget sit all next week for members. They'll print it and let members read it, and then they will begin full Senate debate of the budget the week after.
We heard some rumblings on Monday that there might be a proviso that's would have been offered in Senate Finance that we would not have been happy about, but because of that intelligence that we got, we were able to do some work Monday and yesterday morning to ensure that that did not happen, which it did not. Nothing negative was provisoed into the Senate Finance version of the budget.
I anticipate attempts in the full Senate.
Yeah.
Similar to last year, but I hope that with, you know, good communication and, you know, and Senator Daryl Jackson from Richland County, he's actually my senator now before redistricting. But Senator Daryl Jackson really, he drove home the point of you really don't need to make major changes in the budget to permanent law. That needs to go through the subcommittee floor process.
Of course.
That's just not a good game plan.
That's a Rule 24 violation
in
when
the
Senate. In the Senate, when you're attempting to change permanent law by way of a budget proviso, so you will probably hear a Rule 24 challenge made numerous
there'll
times
be a lot of
next
those.
Week.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of those
on the Senate floor.
So the Senate Finance Committee is done. You want to talk about a couple of new provisos that they?
Well, I don't know that they're necessarily new, but there are a couple of provisos. They passed a good number, but there's several that let's talk about.
All right.
One is one that's remains from last year. It's 117.164. This is a proviso that allows cities and towns to make up lost property tax increases that they should have been allowed if the census count had come out on time. We talked about this last year.
Yeah, okay.
This affected several counties, I think, and certainly several cities. So Act 388 allows cities, towns, and counties to increase their property tax millage by the latest consumer price index increase and the increase in their population growth.
Right. CPI plus population.
CPI plus population. CPI we always get from Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Office, so that's something you can use. But the population numbers, those are estimates in between the two decennial censuses.
Right.
Censi, I guess. Is that right, Mr. Producer? Censi? Is that?
That sounds.
Is that plural?
Not right. It sounds awkward. I think it's just censuses.
But because the 2020 census figures for cities and towns, especially, didn't come out until 2022,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Some cities and towns missed out on the actual population growth that they got over that 10-year period.
Right.
So the General Assembly inserted this proviso that says, okay, you can go back and recapture some of that census number, that population increase that you didn't get credit for before 2020. They're continuing that proviso in this year's budget, I would guess, because maybe some city said, hey, yes, maybe we're going to increase that property tax, but we're not comfortable increasing all of it in 1 year.
Right.
Can we break it up over a year? So we'll see if anybody takes advantage of that. The state health plan insurance premium increase was maintained. That's 108.6. That is an 11.8% increase in premiums over current year.
Right.
But those increases won't go into effect until January 1 of 2025 because PIBA operates on a calendar year, not a July 1 fiscal year. So cities and towns, you're preparing your budgets right now. If you're on the state health plan, you need to plan on an 11.8% premium increase, but it doesn't start until January the 1st. So you plan on paying that premium all of 2025, which of course goes across two fiscal years for you. They included this is the Senate Finance Committee, included a proviso that allows for retired police officers, law enforcement officers, to not have to have a 12-month break in service.
Right. To come back to work.
And draw their retirement benefits if they come back as school resource officers.
Okay.
So I'm a...
That's for someone, if they retired from the state retirement system and then they go back to work at a place that is also under the state retirement system.
Well, if they go back to work as a law enforcement officer or in the same job,
but
kind
not
of
in
job.
Like a private company or like
correct.
A, you know, I mean, this has to be a,
right.
a public employer.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Right.
So what this proviso does is say, okay, law enforcement, right now, if you retire, and I'll talk about this other proviso, now, if you retire, you can come back as a law enforcement officer without a 12-month break in service, so long as you're fulfilling a critical need area.
Right.
SROs are a critical need area.
I would say
area.
That. Mm-hmm.
However, the Senate Finance Committee also deleted the critical need language in the proviso that's in effect right now that allows you to skip that 12-month break in service if you come back in a critical need area. So what that means is the critical need exception that we're operating under right now,
right.
If this proviso stays, if this deletion stays in the budget, that critical need exception will go away and you will then have to have a 12-month break in service in order to come back.
Anywhere. Okay. So they have taken out the critical need exception.
Correct.
Except for law enforcement officers.
Except unless you come back as an SRO, as a school resource officer.
Well, I'll tell you what, with one kid in elementary school and one in middle school, I can't tell you the wonderful influence and presence that a school resource officer has.
Yeah.
Just walking the halls, giving kids high fives and being a part of their daily lives. They get to know them just like a school administrator, and they're not necessarily always the disciplinarian. They're sometimes just a figure in their life that makes them feel safe, and they're so important.
And I think a lot of law enforcement officers aspire to do that at large, even out in the community.
Yeah.
The community at large, not necessarily just at schools. I mean, obviously they do that. But I wish that we had the staffing in law enforcement agencies to allow officers to be those local
law enforcement people there that
residents aren't afraid of,
that
they know and trust and can have that relationship. But unfortunately,
I agree.
We have a lack of resources to be able to achieve that goal. Those are the provisos.
The changes.
That don't really have a whole lot to do with money.
Yeah.
They did adopt their spreadsheet today, Senate Finance.
They did. And they did fully fund the local government fund.
Yeah,
that has not changed. So everybody that's working on your budgets now, that is still funded at the House level.
They included some highlights. They included an additional $200 million for county transportation committees in the C fund.
Mm-hmm.
They put a bunch of money into bridges, more bridges.
Yep.
RIA, the Rural Infrastructure Authority, is getting an additional $30 million for the State Revolving Loan Fund. And
is that for water sewer projects?
Water sewer
and
projects,
yeah, repairs.
Yeah, infrastructure projects. So a lot of good things dollar-wise as well in the budget. That's just a highlight of a couple of that I listened to and saw that, and then Joni passed along to us as well.
Yeah.
Joni was there throughout the entire thing.
That's right.
Watching
That's right.
and listening and taking copious notes. So we'll have some of those highlights in the dome on Friday. Yeah.
So in the House, let's go back across the street
sure.
here. Not really across the street, across the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And just to remind everybody, House committees, a couple met, but not that many.
No.
They were more concerned about getting the bills out that were on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But Senate Bill 1017, the property tax exemption bill, and Senate Bill 1021, the abandoned buildings tax credit bill, both of those met crossover with plenty of time, and they are in the House Ways and Means Committee awaiting. We were told that Senate bills, they would not get to Senate bills and vice versa until mid-April. So I look for Senate bills that have already crossed over, to start moving.
Yeah, I would
a little bit.
So.
I would expect to see some movement there. So
because there's really no point in pushing out House bills out of committee because they're not going to go anywhere.
They're done. But I do want to talk about for a second House Bill 4552. That is the military tax increment financing bill.
Yeah,
Erica has been working on that with the city of North Charleston for months.
Yep.
The Senate amended that bill to change the effective date.
Yes.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Whatever. And it's back in the House when it's a House bill that's passed the House, it's been to the Senate and it's been amended and it's passed the Senate. It doesn't go back through the committee process. It goes on the calendar as Senate amendments.
Yeah.
That bill was on the calendar to be taken up today, but Representative Chris Murphy from Charleston or Dorchester, he raised the 24-hour point, which, Speaker Pro Tem Tommy Pope from York, he was in the seat at that point. He sustained that point of order because it was only placed on the calendar yesterday.
Yeah.
And it hadn't been on there 24 hours.
Despite the fact that others that had been on there less than 24.
Right. They're also not in a huge rush because this bill is,
it's been in the Senate.
It's been in the Senate. It's made crossover. It's not. But we look for that to remain on the calendar and to be dealt with, I would think, next week.
I should hope so.
Yeah.
And we're hearing some things about it, but we're working through those. And hopefully it's not going to be an obstacle to getting the bill ultimately to the governor's desk for him to sign.
Right.
So I think the underlying bill has lots of support, obviously.
Yes.
And it's just a matter of getting through this one potential issue that we think may pop up, but I think we can. I don't see it as an obstacle.
So now, Scott, now is the time. Now we're done with crossover. Now we shift our attention to watching for the Christmas tree amendments on bills. One year, and I cannot remember the bill to save my life, but there was a bill that we were supporting, but it got amended with the catalytic converter. No, it was the ATV.
It was the UTV
bill. UTV
bill. Yeah.
We weren't supporting it. We were just watching
ATV,
it, I think.
ATV bill. Mm.
And it got amended with some catalytic converter language.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it went up in a fiery ball.
It got hotter
of flames.
Than a catalytic converter.
I mean, it was – that just killed it. So we have to watch the bills that we still have left out there working. We've got to watch for any potential amendments that are strike and inserts, and they're just going to use that bill as a vehicle to get another bill passed that hasn't moved out of committee. We've got to watch for amendments to bills that would do harm to us.
Yeah.
So things are beginning to wind down, but we are not beginning to wind down. We will not until May the 9th at 5 p.m., when they gavel, signy die, and we don't have anything in conference committee except the budget.
Have I ever told you the LJ catalytic converter story?
I don't think so.
When I was a kid, we had a 1980 Dodge Diplomat, and my dad so that he could run regular leaded gas in it.
Right.
Took the catalytic converter off that car and banged the guts out of that catalytic converter so that he could run the cheaper gas in that car. I vividly remember that, going out into the onto the carport and him
just
banging
beating,
that.
Just
yes, putting
beating up the catalytic. I don't think. I'll go.
He wasn't doing it because of the precious metals that were in there.
I might as well go ahead and age you. I don't remember ever putting leaded gas in a car.
No, I wouldn't expect you would.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
Speaking of some gas, there was some gas going on at the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting. And by gas, I just mean
a natural gas-fired plant.
Right.
Energy.
Correct.
Generator.
Correct. Nice transition. So 5118, we have talked about that
House
on
bill.
The podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, House bill has already passed the House, sponsored by Speaker Smith. That is the South Carolina 10-Year Energy Transformation Act.
Yes.
We have followed it since it has been introduced. We went to meetings. We have watched this bill. It passed the House. It passed a Senate subcommittee. And then it passed a Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday.
Yes.
I believe on Tuesday. But not without maybe a challenge.
This is, well, a challenge yesterday that was discussed at length but never really manifested.
That's right.
The Senate Judiciary held a subcommittee on this bill, which is a tens of pages
long.
Yeah,
it's huge.
The primary purpose of which is to allow Santee Cooper and Dominion to build a natural gas-fired electric generation facility at the old Kennedy's coal plant site in Colleton County.
Right.
That's one of the things that it does. But there's lots of other things in there from a regulatory standpoint that it does and does not do. And there are many, many interested groups in this bill. And so it had one subcommittee hearing last week where only the solar interests and Duke and Dominion got to speak on the bill a little bit. Yesterday, a huge, presumably strike and insert amendment was provided to the full committee.
Okay.
This strike and insert amendment has not had a subcommittee hearing.
Mm-hmm. You were in the meeting, right?
I was at the
meeting.
Yeah,
you were in the meeting.
And so this bill got dropped on all of the Judiciary Committee members' desks yesterday, or at least the ones that were there. There were several who were not. And they were then asked to discuss it, I guess, and then vote on it.
All right.
There were a number of discussions about some of the provisions in it. However, Senator Wes Clymer from Rock Hill, at the end of the hour and a half, 2 hours worth of kind of talking about the bill, really not even talking about the bill, he said, we need to slow this process down.
Right.
We need to, as a judiciary committee, clearly vet this thing, understand what it does, what it does not do. He said, in the amount of time that we've been here and the little bit of this amendment that I've read while we've been here, he said, I've already written down 2 pages worth of questions that I'd like to have answered by somebody before we can move forward.
Was it crowded?
Oh, it was
Scott?
Packed. Yeah, it's packed.
Okay.
And so
audience members.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he challenged, and he even said, I could ask my questions, but because we're at the committee level with this, our rules don't allow us to ask the people that are sitting out there in the audience.
Right, like the experts.
Who have the answers to my questions, potentially. We can't ask them to come up here and talk. And he said, I dare say that none of us can answer my questions because we, A, haven't read the bill, the amendment, and B, we don't know what we're talking about in this space anyway. That led to a long discussion about whether or not they should move the bill out of the full Judiciary
Because
Committee.
Didn't he make a motion to recommit?
He did.
Okay, to subcommittee.
So he made a motion to send it back to the subcommittee level, the amendment, And that set off a long discussion about why they should not recommit that.
Right.
Senator Gerald Malloy from Hartsville was the chief proponent of moving it onto the floor.
And having full debate on the floor.
And debating
like
it,
that's what,
fighting
like
it out on
Senate.
The floor.
Yeah, okay.
Now, Malloy's rationale behind that is if we want this thing to ultimately pass or something to pass, mm-hmm. if we recommit it, then it's taking a step backward in the process. Mm-hmm. But if we move it to the floor, we Senator Clymer, will have time to get your questions answered.
Well, because it's behind the budget.
Because it's going to be behind the budget.
Right.
And that means that the earliest that they'll get to it is in 3 weeks.
Right.
Not next week, not the next week, but the week after that.
Right, right.
And by Malloy's reasoning, that should be plenty enough time for you to get answers to your questions. I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Right.
I don't disagree with Clymer's position.
Right. That, no, both valid, 100%, both valid.
So there was a lot of consternation among the proponents of this bill moving forward as to why that proposal would not be acceptable to anybody who had questions, gives everybody time to go
right
and get their questions answered. And then even once it gets onto the floor, as we all know, because our listener is really smart and pays attention to this show.
Obviously.
Any one senator can put his or her objection on that bill.
That's right.
And stop it cold.
Right.
The only way to defeat that, well, two ways. They could take their name off mm-hmm. of it so it could keep moving, or it gets put into a special order slot.
Right.
Which that may end up happening anyway.
Right. Whether there's an objection on it or not.
Right. So,
well, it might, you know, Scott, coming out of committee yesterday, it will get read across the desk. It'll get placed on the calendar for next week.
Right.
So in order for it not to be taken up on the uncontested calendar, somebody would have to put name on it, or they would just simply carry it.
Well,
the
I think Luke Rankin, who's the chairman of Senate Judiciary, even said, you know, I'll put my name on it.
Right. To make sure we don't get to it.
Right.
Give everybody plenty of time.
I'll put my name on it so that it cannot move forward, so that all have the time to ask these questions and get the answers. Again, I don't disagree with either position. I think hopefully the outcome will be that everybody will get a better understanding of what's in this amendment. Now, let's complicate this a little bit further.
All right, let's go.
Senator Tom Davis from Beaufort mm-hmm. has a number of goals that he wants to accomplish mm-hmm. through this piece of legislation, because he filed a Senate bill, 909,
yep.
that he wants to take a number of its provisions and fold it into 5118, and he spoke about a number of what he called tensions that there are between the language in 909 and the language that's probably even in the amendment that was offered to 5118 yesterday. So throw that into the mix.
Okay.
And it's going to be that'll be the last, I think, probably the last big fight in the Senate this session.
Okay.
Because they're just simply going to run out of time.
I was about to say, there's just no time to do much of anything else.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's not a bill that's like a one day and done.
No. This will be the last big calendar hog for the Senate.
And, you know, honestly, Scott, it should be. It's huge.
I agree.
It's a big bill. It's a long bill, but it's got a lot of things in it. And
You know, there are some people who are accusing this bill, 5118, of being a repeat of the Baseload Review Act from the mid-2000s that led to the debacle that turned into VC Summer.
Yeah.
And so that's the fear. But I think there are enough eyes on this bill now and lessons learned from the Baseload Review Act.
Hindsight 2020.
Right. Hopefully we won't repeat history with this. So keep an eye on it. Again, the reason that we're paying attention to it is because of the implication that it could or could not have on our municipal power systems.
Right.
A couple of things that I will note that were discussed in the amendment. One is that denials of permits. So if a utility applies for a permit of some kind from DHEC, from the PSC, from ORS, from a city or a county,
right,
and that permit is denied, then the utility would have to appeal first to the administrative law court, and that could work its way all the way up to the state Supreme Court. That's number one.
Okay.
The other thing that is could be of interest to us is that, ironically, and I don't understand why this is in there or who put it in, but it would provide lower electric rates to data centers. It would give data centers a discount on their electric rates. Well, we've heard Keller Kasam with Dominion Energy say publicly multiple times, don't bring us any more data centers because we don't have enough power to cover them.
Right.
So I'm not sure why we would give a data center a break on their electricity to encourage them to come here when we already know, at least on Dominion system,
right,
they say we don't have the juice. The other issue is with those things is they're huge water users, and they're drawing, they're not necessarily buying processed water. They're pumping groundwater.
Right. Right.
So in huge amounts, which is largely unregulated, and so that could potentially have an effect on a water table somewhere. So those are a couple of things that we'll be paying more attention to as that thing goes forward, and how our municipal power systems could or could not be implicated in it going forward. And of course, the solar interests, as we talked about last week, want to compel the utilities, the IOUs, the investor-owned utilities, and even probably Santee Cooper to use more solar.
Right.
But I will say this. So while I was standing outside of the meeting room yesterday, a energy representative, a person who was with one of the big energy companies, was talking about during the eclipse on Monday and how it affected the solar. So let's say before the eclipse started, their solar generation was pushing out, let's say, 600 megawatts.
Right.
I don't know what the number was. It was whatever the number was. 600 megawatts. And they said you could watch it by the second as the eclipse continued to obscure more of the sun. You could see the output from those solar facilities dropping off to the point to where it was like a third of what it was
prior
to the sun being obscured. And then as the eclipse receded,
right,
you could watch the output go back up. So that was a really interesting illustration of some of the vulnerabilities, if you will, of solar, which is not on demand. That's not power that you can start on demand,
right,
unless you store it, which requires, of course, batteries and that kind of thing. So anyway, I thought that was a really
interesting
real-time kind of example of how solar does and does not work.
It'll be interesting to see how this bill plays into primaries and election and general elections, and just kind of see where this goes. Any issue, really, this entire session or the last two-year session. But it'll be interesting to see if we see any mailers with, you know, you support, you're bad, you support solar, you're bad, you support big power, you're bad, you support, you know, big this or big, you know, big government, small government, whatever. They'll start.
I can't wait.
It's just a matter of time.
I can't wait.
Scott, let's, now that we've discussed all of our business.
Is that all? Are we done? Have I completed my list?
I think you've completed your list. I'd like to ask you a question, and this could be...
I hope
be,
it's not another hard one like last
it
week.
It could be very easy, or it could be very difficult. You know, you never know, Mr. Producer. He's tricky. What cities in South Carolina have the word of in their full formal title twice? Of, O-F.
Like standalone O-F.
Yes, the word of.
Not city of... Not town of.
Have it in their formal title twice. Think about who has it in their form or in the title of their city, and then you add city of.
Okay. So it would have to be a multiple word city.
That is correct.
Or town.
That is correct.
That's strung together with an of.
That is correct.
In between the two words.
You are driving to the place you know.
In between the two.
That's right.
Give me a clue.
You are replacing your engine in your Cadillac with a Mustang, and you're driving over the connector.
Isle of Palms.
Yes. Yes. That's it.
That's it.
There's only
one.
Isle
of Palms. Yeah.
The city of the Isle of Palms.
Yes.
Isle of Palms.
City of Isle of Palms. Yes.
Former mayor used to race over the connector because he switched out his engine. And he had a Harley, too, so. You can imagine I loved him a lot.
City of Isle of Palms.
That's right.
And, of course, any, you know, it could have been any number of places that have a connector. All the, everybody.
That's right. There are a lot of, I mean.
Pauly's got one. Edisto's got one.
Pauly's connector is like a naughty, it's a bridge.
Kiowa's got one.
There is one that goes from city of downtown Charleston to James Island.
Charleston. There's lots of connectors.
But you know,
causeways, if you will.
Causeway. Yeah, Pauly's is a causeway.
Causeway.
Connector is not. I think of like.
Fripp's not an unincorporated place, but they have a bridge. Hilton Head has a bridge. It's a. Would you call that a connector or the bridges? They call those the bridges.
What defines a connector? Like, why do you call it a connector? What is the definition?
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. We're going to have to ask.
Think about the characteristic of a causeway, though.
It's
an elevated road above the water.
Right.
But it's not on pylons. It's a,
right.
an earthen.
We're going to have to get the Honorable Justin Powell in here and talk to him about this. He would know.
Yeah, the Isle of Palms connector is essentially a bridge.
Yeah.
But Pauly's has a causeway with a bridge that connects the two ends of the causeway. Yeah, it does.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edisto, same thing with Edisto. Edisto has a causeway with a bridge that connects the two ends. It's largely earthen with a road on top.
But in Edisto, you got to go over the big bridge. You have to go over a big connector to get to Edisto.
Not before you get to the island itself.
Well, yeah. Right. That's but you have to go
about.
Over like
jump
to John's Island
right,
and
right,
then
right,
you go
right.
over.
That's a big bridge.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about right there at it.
Oh, got it. Like Sullivan's.
Like when you go out to.
You have to go over a drawbridge to get to Sully's.
Have you ever been out to Botany Bay Island?
No, I've not.
You need to go out there.
Okay.
There's a causeway there, but you don't drive cars on it. You have to walk that to get out to to the beach. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
I should take the kids.
Botany Bay is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely go down there. You can't take any of the shells, though. You got to leave the shells.
We've got a baseball tournament. We've got some soccer games. Got a big weekend ahead of us here with Midland Sport. So
very
go
exciting.
Vipers, go kicking koalas.
I'll be watching golf all weekend.
Of course. I'll be at the ballpark or at the soccer field. Everybody, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week and the weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.